Hello, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. Time to talk about the geeky stuff that happened last week, or at least, you know, in the 7-day period since our last episode. It's a whole thing, you get it. As always, I'm your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom, everywhere. And once again, I'm joined by my co-hostess with the mostest. She's gonna brag, maybe boastest a little bit. Would you like to tell the people who you be?
Hey all, it is I, Stephanie. I don't really have anything to brag about today. It's been kind of a shit show of a day, but
happy Monday.
Yeah, happy fucking Monday. Let's start off right there with on a high note.
It's hard to start a Monday on a high note.
Yeah, and even though we're kind of finishing Monday on a high note, it's like it's hard to have a good rest of the day when the start of your day involved sitting in a dark train tunnel for 20 minutes, stuck in your subway car and not moving.
See, that would be like an amazingly good time if that was a metaphor. Unfortunately, you mean it literally.
I mean it quite literally, and it was a pretty packed train, so it was not fun.
And normally there's nothing wrong with being packed in a dark tunnel.
If you're moving...
Yeah, it was Happy Father's Day. Here come the dad jokes.
What kind of dad jokes?
Puns. Like puns.
Yeah, so that was a fucking dirty dad joke.
Yo, are we going to start talking about the dirty dads already? You jumping the gun? We're talking about the dirty dads?
I'm just saying, like, you led the segue, but you want to talk about stuff that happened first and then second? Do you want to do E3 first?
Yeah, let's talk about E3 first so that there's a cliffhanger on all the dirty dad talk. Just hope to whet your appetite.
I'm Dirty Dan.
I am the Dirty Daddy.
Whoa.
Someone's gonna... Speaking of, we need Matt Mercer to be like, how you doing? I'm your Dirty Daddy. I hope he's a voice actor in this game. So E3 happened last week. Did you witness any of E3 whatsoever?
Not a single second of it, but tell me about it.
It was uncomfortably acceptable. Which
uncomfortably acceptable,
because part of the fun of watching E3 is watching like the corporate shit show of like them trying to be hashtag relatable and hashtag memes, trying to get people invested, and it's just super cringy all the time. So they just did a straightforward presentation for most of the companies. They just said, here's games, here's what they look like, here's some discussion about it. So there wasn't a ton of like like how there normally is. So people are like, how do we react to this? This just looks professional. Of course, Microsoft pulled some crap that was kind of cringy in a sort of way. Like, I didn't get to watch as much of it as I wanted to. The big highlights for me, the three things that I really watched were the Devolver Digital presentation with huge air quotes. Ubisoft and Nintendo. I actually watched the Ubisoft one. I don't know if it was before we recorded or what it was. I'm not sure what happened, but I was, like, really sick. It was, like, when my hiccups from last week were at, like, their fever pitch. And I woke up in the middle of the night or something. And I was like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I'll spare you the details. I was just sitting there for a while. We're millennials, so I may or may not have been going to the bathroom. That's just what we do. And I was like, might as well watch this Devolver thing. It seems to only be 15 minutes. And wow, is it a weird-ass thing. Did you ever see Too Many Cooks from Adult Swim?
I think you showed it to me once, but I may have been drunk at the time.
Okay, well, it wouldn't have mattered, because you would have felt the same way if you were sober. It just would have... you probably would have just remembered it instead, but their presentation was like an Adult Swim parody of an E3 presentation. Like, on purpose. Like, I think they showed one or two games, but they basically were just being completely ridiculous and throwing jabs at the way that corporations present at E3, and they even had, like, Suda51, which is... he's a developer behind, like, No More Heroes and a bunch of, like, other hardcore, interesting, like, Japanese games. But they basically just found a way to get him to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be making a game for it. Wait, Devolver Digital, who is that? No, I'm not making a game for them. And, like, they went out of their way to get a developer just to say that they're not working together, which is the kind of company they are. It was just, like, a nightmarish kind of thing. Like, in that Adult Swim, you turned on the TV at, like, 4 a.m. or you left it on and you woke up at 4 a.m. and just saw chaos, and it was deeply disturbing even though there was nothing actually horrible there. That specific charm that only Adult Swim could have at 4 a.m.
Oh yeah,
but kudos to them. It was actually pretty interesting and spot on for what they were trying.
I mean, you remembered it.
Yeah. I mean, they actually had games on the show floor if you were at E3, but that wasn't part of the presentation from what I understand. Ubisoft did a lot. They showed that Mario and Rabbids game, which no mm-hmm. one thought that was going to be worth anything, and it looks to actually be worth quite a lot. The Rabbids are terrible. Do you know about the Raving Rabbids?
I have, like, a vague mental image of what they look like, but I don't know anything about their game.
Yeah, so I don't know what caused them to be a thing. It was like, they were like a Rayman spinoff at one point, and then they just became, like, their own thing. Kind of like, I don't know what their original purpose was, but they're essentially the video game Minions, in the sense that they were an annoying little mascot that was in one series, and they became their own spinoff. And they're just, like, obnoxious and kind of ugly and that whole thing, but kids like them, so if kids like them and they're for kids, I'm not gonna hate on kids for liking them. I'll question an adult who unironically likes them, but again, if it makes people happy. But they're gonna be crossing over with Mario for a strategy game that's pretty much XCOM, but for kids. And everyone's like, this is the dumbest idea I've ever seen. I'm going to probably buy this. like, from a gameplay standpoint, it looks pretty good. It's just, why would it be those people? It's like, if you made a serious drama with good writing and good acting, but it was still the Minions, you'd be like, why did you do this? But, like, good writing, but why the Minions? That's essentially what they pulled right here. And but people
awesome.
Were, yeah, so that's how Ubisoft opened their press conference. And, like, the creator of Mario, like, Shigeru Miyamoto, he came out with, like, a bullet bill-type arm cannon thing. That, like, is, like, a item you can get in the game, apparently. So him and the Ubisoft, like, director went, like, back-to-back Lethal Weapon style, and people were like, this is, I think this is supposed to be cheesy, but it's legitimately endearing and heartwarming. So, you know, they did that, and they jumped in some of their other games. Of course, they showed Assassin's Creed, they showed a pirate game. The big surprise was the Beyond Good and Evil 2 reveal. And it just looks pretty interesting. There's a monkey and a pig that said fuck a lot. That was kind of cool. There's a black lady. She was cool. They showed off Far Cry 5, which also had a black lady that was a cool sniper that helped out the protagonist. Whichever you make them to be, I think you can be genders and races. So they had a white dude for the... Well, a white hand. I don't know. I don't remember if there's a voice. It was a white person that was the first person character. But there's a dog. Apparently you can pet the dog. I know people care about that. But the dog can, like, fetch for you and attack people. And it's, like, it's a good doggy. A little good doggy. And then there's a white dude with, like, a bomb truck or something who's on your team. So you get to, like, fight religious zealots over in, like, Montana area. I can't remember. Is it Montana? I think it's Montana. One of the square states. With, like, racists and Christians.
I think it is in Montana.
Okay. I did know this, like, an hour ago, but it's been a long day. But that's what I pulled away from Ubisoft. Nintendo showed, of course, they showed the Rabbids stuff again. It still looked good. Showed Super Mario Odyssey, which is terrifying because Mario can possess characters and apparently real human beings because he's not really a human being. Kind of the way that Dr. Robotnik looks different than the other humans in the Sonic game somehow.
Mm-hmm.
and I guess, I don't know what species Mario is, but he's not like a New Donk City human. Oh yeah, it's New Donk City, by the way.
New Donk City.
Yep. Because it's a lot of references to the old Donkey Kong games. But
the greatest city in the world.
I don't know if donk is a slang term in Japanese the way that it is in American English. I don't know if it is in, like, other English, but I know it is in American English. And for the listeners who don't know, donk is a big booty. So New Donk City is just funny to a lot of people. And even if you don't take it that way, it's still a weird name for your city. But Pauline, you know, remember the princess from Donkey Kong games that you saved?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wasn't Peach, that was Pauline, and she's just been lost to obscurity for the longest time, mostly. But apparently she's the mayor of New Donk City, which is...
Oh, good for Pauline.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if she was the mayor when Donkey Kong captured her, but she's moved up from being in a cage rescued by a plumber guy to being a mayor of a huge metropolis. And the game looks pretty cool. Mario gets different outfits and hats. There's a little bit of controversy because he wears, like, a poncho and sombrero, and it seems to be... Some people are saying it's cultural appropriation, and I have Mexican mutuals on Twitter that thought it was offensive and that thought it was cool. So It's not my place to say, but apparently it's not cut and dry. I think in all honesty, Mario wore a poncho and sombrero in some other game because someone pulled out all the outfits he wears in this game are from old obscure Mario games like Mario History and Mario Typing. So I don't know what they're going for. I think he gets like a Stars and Stripes one too, so I'm curious to see if Mario just goes and appropriates every culture that's not Japanese, Italian. So I just hope there's not like a fake African level and it gets terrible. I hope they don't do that, but they seem
I hope.
He does possess a T-Rex though, so I mean like
now that's appropriation.
He's appropriate.
That's my culture.
It's prehistoric Americans. I joke about that, but it is disturbing but cool. What else did they show? There's a new Kirby game coming out. You can play with your friends. New Yoshi game coming out. Basic Nintendo stuff. There's a new Pokemon RPG coming out, like a mainline one. So, like your reds, your silvers, your diamonds, it's coming to Switch. And they just offhandedly mentioned it like, oh, hey, by the way, we're working on a new Pokemon RPG. We don't have any details yet, but we're working on one. Which, they're not a company that would lie about that, but it's... People have been asking for this since Red, Blue, Yellow. Like, give us a console Pokemon game.
I was going to say, because that would be a console game, so that's, like, brand new territory, basically, right?
I mean, in a way, the Switch is pretty much just a super handheld. Like, they're like, oh, no, we're not replacing the DS. I'm like, we know, but, like, come on, man. Like, this is a super handheld that happens to plug in your TV.
Yeah.
In essence, but even... True. But it's enough of a console for this to be a huge deal. And they just offhandedly say, oh yeah, we're working on one. You know, that thing you've been asking for since forever. We're doing it. It's no biggie. They announced Metroid Prime 4 with like a little logo and the internet went berserk, fairly enough.
Yeah, I remember watching Maddie on Twitter.
Yes, yes. It's a friend of the show, Maddie
just
Myers.
Just losing it.
Is probably number one Samus fan that I know. Between her and Samus the Rapper, I was like, these two people deserve this more than anybody else in the world I know. And I hope they get all the joy they want. And Nintendo also announced, like, after the little conference, they had, like, they're bringing a remake of Metroid 2 to the DS, which is apparently a good thing. So, good for that. And, you know, Splatoon 2 is coming out soon. ARMS, I think, is out now.
Yeah, it came out yesterday, I think, as of recording.
Oh yeah, like over the weekend. So, you know, people are happy with the gameplay for the most part. There's something else that I feel like I'm forgetting. It's so much happened. Just a bunch of other stuff. You know, they show like Breath of the Wild DLC.
Hey,
what's up?
Tell me, do you know anything about what Cuphead is? Because I keep seeing people excited about it, and
yes.
I have no clue.
So Cuphead is the old tale of things that have come from beyond. Cuphead has been in development for like a stupid amount of time. I want to say 6 years, but I don't actually know.
Oh,
they showed it like two E3s ago, at least two or three E3s ago. I'll say that real fast. And it's like old 30s animation, like your old talkies.
Yeah, that kind of like staticky looking.
Yeah, like Steamboat Willie, but with color. So there's these two characters, Cuphead, and I think the other one is Mughead. They're like two little, like all black bodies the way Mickey was, but with like cups for heads. Like colorful heads, so it's not like a blackface thing. It's just characters had all black bodies because, like, I'm not gonna animate all that. Just use ink, and they do like little finger guns to shoot things. So it's like a platformer, kind of like a bullet hell sort of thing. All hand drawn, amazing music, and people are like, "I want this game! I want this game!" And they're always like, "It's coming out like this summer. Next year." And it's just been delayed and delayed, and finally, it's got a release date. I believe this coming fall. And the animation is just beautiful. It looks so great. It's just been a long time coming. So that's what Cuphead is. And,
that's what that excitement is about.
Yes, it's because it should have been out by now.
Okay.
But they've been taking this time to perfect it. I think it was Iwata that said it, or Miyamoto. It's like, well, a delayed game can eventually be good, but a bad game is going to be bad forever. Which is like, well, I mean, there's patches, but for the most part, you're right. So if they were to release Cuphead bad, it's going to be bad. Now, you would think that a delayed game will eventually be good, but if you talk to Square Enix, you can delay a game till forever. I finally watched the Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, and
I was going to say, did all they put out was another trailer?
Well, this was, again, before E3. I just finally watched it. I got over myself. It still looks good. I just want them to release it. And apparently, they have a trailer coming out, like, in a month. It's going to be, like, another world and stuff. It's like, how are you still, like, what are you doing? Just release the game already.
Yeah, what have they been doing for so long?
I don't know if I don't know. Because the art keeps looking like, better every time they have a trailer. So I don't know if they're just redoing their engine or what's going on.
Do they just, like... I just, like, feel like every single, like, month I see a new, like... Oh, man, I'm saying, like, a lot. I just listened to a podcast about, like, vocal fry and other speech tics, and I'm, like, very self-aware right now.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard that one. What is it? It's pretty much just, what, like, feminine tics, mostly the ones that people...
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, it's feminine tics and then mansplaining and talking over people.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that every single time I hear anything about a Kingdom Hearts game, is that there's another either remaster of an old game coming out, a re-release of an old game on a new console, a game that should be a side quest, or DLC, that has, like, a very tangential, limited connection to the actual...
Yeah, so basically what Kingdom Hearts is doing, they did a weird thing where they just don't number their side titles. They only apparently number the ones that Sora is the main character, because there's been so much...
There's, like, 15 Kingdom Hearts games, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, and there's a ton of story in them. Like, apparently if I go play Kingdom Hearts 3, I'm not going to have a single clue what's going on.
So it's not like, a damn clue.
So it's like, okay, so this... You could have just called those other ones 3 or something. Like, well, Sora wasn't in them. Yeah, but they mattered. You should have just called them 3.
Yeah, they didn't matter.
No one would be saying, where's Kingdom Hearts 3? They wouldn't be pissed off. They'd say, where's Kingdom Hearts 10 or whatever? Like, what?
Yeah.
Where's the next Sora chapter, is what we would say. Where's Kingdom Hearts 2, number 2?
Kingdom Hearts 358 days over X or whatever it was called.
It was like 300... It was a year over 2, which was...
But the way you said it was weird. It was like 358 days over 2. It wasn't like 352 divided by 2 days.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Like, why would you name your game that? And speaking of that, someone needs to sit Microsoft down and show them what Nintendo is doing. So, to rewind, Nintendo released another console, like another handheld console. It's called the new Nintendo 2DS. Okay. There's a lot going on there. So first off, they had their Nintendo DS.
Yeah, you want to unpack that?
Then they had the DS Lite. Clamshell, better. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. It's time for, I don't even know, like the DS XL or something. They just kept making them bigger and thinner and better. Fine. Then, like, check it out, the 3DS. And people are like, yo, cool, this is 3D. And they're like, oh, we kind of, okay. So this isn't great. Here's the new 3DS. It's going to be a little better. It has more RAM and stuff and, like, a little thumb nub. Oh, by the way, here's the 2DS. It's a 3DS that doesn't fold, and it's only in 2D because some people it's child-friendly. So it's cheaper because it doesn't fold and doesn't have 3D. So the 2DS, kind of weird. It only plays 3DS games. But okay, fine. I get why you would have the 3DS 2D version. Fine. Mm-hmm. Like, check it out. The new 3DS XL. Like, this is getting kind of long. Like, you're doing a lot of words here. Like, check it out. The new 2DS, so it's a 2DS that folds this time with more RAM and a little thumb thingy. I'm like, so this is just a Super Nintendo DS. This is just a regular 3DS at this point without the 3D.
What about the, speaking of ridiculous naming conventions, the Xbox One X?
That was the segue, that big long thing. The Xbox One X. Which is acronymed like, Xbox.
Yeah.
But, like, we've come full 360. And if you love puns, this is great.
Hey.
But how do you, like, yo, I would like one Xbox One X, please. Or I want the new Xbox One. There's, like, a lot going on here. And this is bad for, like, archivers and just purchasing them and stuff like that. It's just going to be a huge mess.
And, like, what's the box that you keep your Xbox One X in?
An Xbox One Xbox.
One Xbox.
Yeah. Like, this is, duh. Apparently it is backwards compatible all the way to the original Xbox, which is...
Well, that's fucking nice, because most of the Sony consoles are not.
Yeah, it's a weird struggle, because on the one hand, you would like to cater to those fans, but, like, everyone who ever pulls it and, like, looking at usage data, no one uses it. Well, relatively no one. But why... It just seems odd. Like, how would you procure an Xbox game and not have an Xbox, a 360, a One, or a One X, I guess, at that point. It just seems weird that you wouldn't have some of the ones that could play it, but it's good for archiving purposes. I'm glad they're doing it. And it's going to be in 4K, because everybody has a 4K TV. Except nobody has
a 4K. I was like, what does that mean?
It's, well, it's 1080p, but better kind of thing. Okay. It's just the next thing up.
Just like...
So it's better graphics that... I mean, you could tell the difference, but it's they still can't figure out how to make humans look real, so it's... But there are going to be more detailed fake humans.
I can't wait to not play anything because I don't spend money on fucking consoles.
Well, here's the weird thing. So they showed Minecraft in 4K. You know, one of the few games that, like...
That's so useless.
Which, it will look crisper, but, like, what are you doing? But apparently...
It's caught, like...
They found a way to make it look worse, Steph. Like, they tried to use better graphics or something, and it made it look worse.
Like, Minecraft is supposed to be pixelated. Like, lean into that.
Yeah, so the one thing
it's the whole shtick. Like, it's the whole thing.
Yeah, so you would think, with 4K, what are you going to get from that? Crisper lines and edges, which could be useful, and better draw distance, which, like, you just see further in the distance. That's all you would really... That's all you would want from a Minecraft 4K. Basically, just to see if you could do it, and to see how far you could look down. But they made it look worse. Which you had to do nothing. You had to just add more power. And they screwed it up. And Notch is still a contentious gentleman. The developer of Minecraft. He is a...
He said some shit or something, didn't he?
He's not the nicest guy. Just goes on, like, misogynist rants and stuff. Which is unfortunate. But he's one of those good definitions of I can separate the creator from the creation. And it's like... Because I don't know what he's bitter about. He's like one of those people who think, he seems to think that like SJWs or something will ruin games. And it's like, whether you think that or, like, let's assume that's true for the sake of him. Like, dude, you made fucking Minecraft, like one of the most influential games that other people have made careers out of playing your game. People Seriously. Use it in an educational sense. As far as video games go, you won, dude. You're a millionaire from a game. Relax. You're the dude. You could be the dude. And instead you want to go drop the C-bomb on people on Twitter. It's like, whether you should be allowed to do that or not, it's not good optics, my friend. We're not friends. That's how I finish the sentence. I've never met the guy. The guy. What's up, guy? Like, just... How could you not just relax when you're the guy who made... Like, you could always say, if you have a problem with somebody, well, I made Minecraft, what have you made? That's just a shitty thing to say. But you could say that rather than, oh, there's no place for white men in games. Dude, you're the white man in games. You're the man.
You did it.
That people are trying to subvert. Just relax, homie. But yeah, he went on with the whole thing. But other than that, I mean, Minecraft is still on every console. Skyrim also is getting put on more consoles just because why hell not? it's on Switch now. You can get Link clothing in it. There's a VR version coming out. There's a bunch of new car games. They all look nice. It's E3, you guys. It's the same thing. Oh, and the United States won the Splatoon 2 tournament. They beat Japan in the finals.
USA!
Let's go! USA. Let's go us! And I think they were major underdogs and played like underdogs, but they just kept winning. And it was, I'm looking forward to that game a whole lot. I didn't watch the ARMS tournament. And that's our E3 wrap-up. Sorry for the stuff we missed, but there was actually a whole bunch. And... I didn't get to see as much as I wanted. There is a post on Lady Geeker and Friends that goes into more of it. You should go check it out. And hard pivot to other game stuff. Or do we want to wait till the next segment to talk about this other stuff?
Let's, we could talk about it here, because then all the rest of the stuff for the middle section will just be movies, and we'll scooch right through.
So, yeah. You all have been waiting. It's daddy time.
What just happened?
I've seen this. I don't know what this is. Like, it's a daddy dating sim, but where you're a dad that dates other dads?
Yeah, you're a dad that dates other dads. The game promises to, promises that it includes so many bad dad puns that the developers themselves, who are the very illustrious game grumps, uncomfortable. Like, there were so many dad jokes.
So, like... Are you, like, a gay dad hitting on gay dads? Or, like, are you just, like, bros hanging?
I think you're a gay dad hitting on fellow gay dads.
Okay.
I think is the premise here.
That's fine. I just wanted to know, Are we like cracking open a cold one with the boys, or cracking open a warm one with a single boy? I just wanted to know which path we were going down, because both are solid options, I feel like, and I hope that even if you romance the best boy, you get to still like drink beers with the other dads.
I can't imagine that they would. Someone whose selling copy ends with, "Are you ready? Hi, ready. I'm dad." Like.
That's right. That's on the Steam page, right? Like.
Yep. Like.
Just what can we get away with?
Like, I feel like it went this, like, I hadn't heard about it. I don't know if they didn't even release, like, say, like, "Hey, we're doing this," until today. And then it just kind of skyrocketed to the top of all my feeds. But, like, there's already, like, fan art of all of the dads as Overwatch daddies.
Of course, like, there is. Of course that's a thing. I mean, there's already...
hard if you look at the cast of them. Like, it would be very easy to kind of, like, palette swap the guy with dreads to be Lucio. And, like...
Okay. I mean, well, there's already Rule 34 art of, like, the rabbit that cosplays as Peach in the Rabbids game, which is, that's the world we live in. I don't know. Look.
R.I.P.S.
A lot of people will tell you not to kink shame. I'm not going to tell you not to kink shame people.
Dude, look, one of the apartments that I am currently apartment hunting, one of the apartments that we looked at, that we're trying to look at, we didn't actually get a viewing in, but it was described in its listing as sun spanked. And I was like, I don't know if it's a typo. I'm not going to kink shame this apartment out of hand until we've seen it.
Like, I don't... Oh, gosh.
I was like, what does that mean? Like, what were you trying to write? What, like...
I could give you an idea of what that means if you were, like, trying to be, like, a dirty dad about it. Like, just, like, sun-washed or whatever that means.
Yeah.
But sun-spanked, like, does that mean... Like, you get a ton of sun in the evening? Like, when the sun's going down, it hits you in the back? Like, is that what we're getting? And, like, I'm trying to be funny, but at the same time, I'm completely serious. Like,
sun splashed? Like, sun...
It's sun spanked.
Sun kissed?
Sun kissed.
Like,
sun kissed
is
the morning.
Is sun spanked the kinkier version of sun kissed? Like...
It's either kinky version, or it's the evening version. Which can be both.
Which is, yeah, it's sun... Sunlight after dark.
Sun bukkakied.
Oh god.
that's great though. That's how you get a tan. But yeah, I think this game got announced like a couple days ago or something. I'm like, huh, this looks kind of funny, and I just went about my business, and then it blew up. And apparently, you have like a very sweet and pure daughter, and everyone's like also loves the daughter, like not in a gross way, like a.
Everyone's just like, oh, this is the best.
Yeah, so it's like a weird. I feel like the mission statement was to create a wholesome porn game. And if they succeed at that, Mr. Ego Raptor deserves all of our money. Imagine the year he's had. He broke ties with JonTron. JonTron went on a whole tear, and now he's releasing Daddy Simulator. What a career arc. What a world we live in, right?
What a world.
Do you have anything else to say about Daddy Love Time 5000?
Well, no, I'm speechless after that.
Okay, well, you know what we should do? I don't know when this game comes out. We should find a way to stream this game or something. Daddy reveal.
Yeah.
We'll see after the break.
that'll be one for the records when that comes up on people's feeds.
Daddy reveal?
Daddy reveal. They're like, what the hell did I sign up for?
Should we give the people some music?
Let's do some music. Let's get out of here.
We'll be back.
Out of this hole we dug.
Hey. Hi, Doug. How are you? Get it?
Calm down.
Because Doug's a name. welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that music. It'll be in the show notes. Hope you've had your fill of daddy jokes and E3 stuff. So let's talk about some movie jazz.
So first thing that's been in movie news this week, it definitely is the Joss Whedon Wonder Woman script.
Yeah, that's been talked about a little bit.
Have you read any parts of this, or any of the stink?
Like, I read like the very, very first intro paragraph thing, and some of the people like ripping into shreds, and they're just kind of like, okay, this isn't great, whatever. Like, it wasn't interesting to me. It was just not good.
Yeah, I think what was astonishing to people was that, like, because people are still kind of coming off of the high of how, like, refreshingly non-sexist that the Wonder Woman movie that got made was, people were exceedingly not ready to deal with how fantastically everything-ist Joss Whedon's Wonder Woman script was. Like, there's the first woman, quote-unquote, introduced in the script is Steve Trevor's plane. Like, everything is coded through Steve's point of view. Like, Hippolyta's described along the lines of something like, she's like an older woman and stern, but still beautiful. Like, okay, I was worried. Didn't think...
That's interesting writing, to say the least.
And then the person who was, like, doing a tweet thread about it was like, oh, I was wondering if there would be black people in this movie, and it cuts to, like, a woman speaking in, like, very, like, stereotypical AAVE, like, about calling Diana, like, a hoe who's, like, stepping on her turf and, like, making references about selling drugs. It's like, oh...
This is good. This is good stuff.
Excited about this.
Not so great.
Like, Diana tells someone to be a man at some point. Like, that's something that would be in her vocabulary.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept.
There have been several defenses of it talked about. Like, for one thing, this was a draft of a movie that didn't get made, so they didn't ever get the time to go through rewrites or reshoots or anything like that. There was no, like, he showed it to someone and someone said, we're not making that. And, like, that was it. And I think part of the reason it's getting come down on so hard is because it's kind of been, like, the white whale of female superhero movies for a long time. Like, something that's been thrown around. Like, Joss Whedon tried to make a Wonder Woman movie many years ago and they told him no because women... in Hollywood and superhero movies don't sell.
Because it was bad.
Yeah, but maybe we dodged a damn bullet.
Because that could have been the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
like could have been it. It'd be like, no more female superheroes because no one can write them. What about a woman? Yeah, I just don't feel like anyone can write these characters. I think only men can. I mean, we've gotten everybody to try. It just seems like nobody can.
Even Joss Whedon can't. If Joss Whedon can't write a feminist movie, then no woman can. Like, I think people just put too much hope on Joss Whedon as, like, their feminist hero. At least in the past they did. I think that since Age of Ultron, that has gone the way of the dinosaur, but...
I still maintain that, like, a sexist would have known not to make that joke. I don't know what the hell what was going on. Maybe that was one of the maybe the boob thing was, like, a... Maybe that was corporate that did that. Maybe that wasn't Joss Whedon.
Hulk falling into Black Widow's boobs?
Yeah, like, I can't imagine an adult wrote that. Like, but a corporation totally could have. The other defense I heard of it was that it was written around the same time, like, Elektra and Catwoman were failing. Mm-hmm. So people, like, the execs may have been like, yo, you gotta focus the dude, or, like, this isn't gonna sell and we're not gonna make it. Which is trash on their part. But it's another theory, and it's all speculation at this point. Would you say that Age of Ultron was better from a feminist perspective than that script was?
I mean, I didn't read the script in full.
me either.
And I think you could probably, I think you could probably put a lot of things in both, or like in the con category and a couple things in the pro category for each of them. Like, Age of Ultron didn't have a female lead, but it didn't really do any justice to its female characters, but it didn't, I mean, like, you can't even say, like, it didn't sexualize them, because it did. Gave them kind of agency, but not really. I don't know, man. That's a toss-up.
Yeah, that's a... Someone do the comparison. The world needs to know. What's more feminist? Whedon's Wonder Woman or Whedon's Avengers? The world may never know. Because I'm not doing that work. I don't have that kind of time. Well... A few tangents, but we talked over it, so yeah. But I mean, either way, it wasn't like the best writing anyway, so
yeah.
The other thing that someone said is the thing that, like, when you would write, she looks stern but still beautiful, which is that something that should have been like, was that something for the audience to be told, or was that more of like, this is how you cast this person?
Sounds like, yeah, a lot of screenplays. Like, is this how you, like shoot the scene, or like
would you write,
is that for a direction, like, do you have to tell her, like, look pissed off but not so much that it makes you ugly? Like,
yeah, would you get something like that for Chris Evans, where it's like, we need you to look as much like a little boy as possible, but you still need to be a grown ass man? Like, because someone had to have told him that one day. He just has such, yeah, boyish charm. What the hell's going on? Okay, that's all I have. I didn't really look too much into that.
Okay, well, did you get a chance to look at this other link I posted?
Nope, I figured you would tell me all about it.
I will tell you all about it. So, in the ongoing adventures of whatever the fuck Sony, I think it's Sony, is doing with Spider-Man, because they still have those rights.
Are they involved with, like, the Marvel one?
I don't know. I do not know.
Okay.
Is it Sony? I'm looking. Yep, Sony. Sony is continuing to make their Spider-Man Extended Universe off of something. I don't even know if this is a Spider-Man Extended Universe that includes Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I don't know if this is a Spider-Man Extended Universe that includes a Spider-Man. But she is the first Black woman who has been entrusted with a tentpole superhero film. She is going to be, and not only is she going to be directing a superhero film, the film she is directing is going to be called Silver and Black.
Okay.
I don't know a lot about the Spider-Man villains gallery, like Rogues gallery, but The characters in the title are Silver Sable and Black Cat.
I know about Black Cat a little bit.
Yeah, I know, like, vaguely about Black Cat. Like, she's a kind of, like, a cat burglar turned, like, crime boss character. And Silver Sable is also apparently, like, some kind of female mercenary character. So this is a pretty awesome gig, because Black woman director directing a movie that's, presumably some kind of, like, buddy or rivalry movie about two female supervillains. That sounds pretty boss to me, even though I don't care at all about the Sony Spider-Man Extended Universe.
Yeah. The only thing I know about Black Cat, I've just seen a lot of cosplays of her, and all the art of her on Wikipedia is, like, super sexualized, so, like, do you tone that down or just let it be? Like, how does... So who's writing... Who's doing this...
Gina Prince? I'm not sure who's doing the writing. The director in question is Gina Prince Bythewood, who directed Love and Basketball and The Secret Life of Bees.
Yeah, okay, so the directing in this is going to be fine, but is there any chance of this movie being good? Because I guess
that's a good question.
Because if Patty Jenkins can destroy the DC curse, anything's possible. But
yeah.
I just don't have faith in Sony to, like, give the right materials to anything to work, you know what I mean? But maybe the problem is direction. Hopefully this will be good.
Well, she's... Okay, so the script was originally written by the character... Or by the screenwriter for Thor: The Dark World, which is a questionable endorsement, depending on how much you like Loki, I guess. But it says that she'll also be doing a rewrite of the script, so she'll be...
taking out all the sexism, presumably.
Presumably.
Okay. When Black Cat bounces boobily down the steps. Like, we're gonna just take that line out. That doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. And the articles that I've been reading about it, like, they make some good points. Like, they only decided to hand off this franchise to a woman once, like, nobody gave a fuck about their movies anymore, basically. Like, they've already, like, twice destroyed their Spider-Man franchise. And only now.
Yeah, they made people not want to see Spider-Man movies. Like, how bad do you have to fuck up that people are like, I'm tired of Spider-Man. Like, Spider-Man. Yeah. Spider-Man's a fun little guy, you know?
Yeah.
He made people not care. I mean, they could have just stopped after Tobey Maguire. Like, the third movie, like, has its problems, but, like, people will ardently defend it as being not a bad movie, like, me included. Like, it had problems, but it's not the worst movie. And then the Garfield ones came out like, oh, man, Andrew Garfield, good dude. Not that great of movies.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the bright side...
I'm just... Go ahead.
The bright side to them being lackadaisical and be like, I guess we'll let a black woman do it even though no one cares anymore. It's like, well, that's the worst way to get there. But it's still progress in a fashion. So.
Yeah, and I think that it's reassuring that it happened so immediately after Wonder Woman, because it didn't mean, like, okay, well, I guess white women can direct superhero movies now, but we're still gonna need a while before we will believe that, like, women with any intersection of...
anything else
can do that.
Well, I think with, Sony's sitting there, like, they're gonna shit on by DC, like, well, they got female directors that are kicking ass. You look over and see, Coogler directing Black Panther, like, well, black guys can direct, like, how do we make a splash with this? Oh, I know, a black woman. But no one's ever done that before. Which, you know.
And really, no one has. No one's ever done that before, so.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Look, which is, yeah, a damn shame, but.
Look, cynical editions of marginalized voices still count, and.
There are still editions of marginalized voices.
And let's be honest, this all is about money, whether you're fueling it with sexism or whatever. Now that Wonder Woman is a proven property, like, now it's time for us to get all kinds of more female-led movies, good ones, bad ones, and the bright side is, there's a whole realm of other kinds of garbage we can get, you know? We love The Room with Tommy Wiseau, but, like, what if we would have, like, A Room, but it was, like, a female-led movie? That could have been a whole different kind of a shit show, like... We're missing the forest for the trees here, you guys. Like, we could see some, like, really interesting garbage. Of course we're going to see some good stuff. Of course these women can direct. That's fine. They should have been directing. I'm looking for, like, the people that can't direct that are going to get a chance. That's where it's going to be fun. Like, we had, what, 3 DC movies that shouldn't have, like, been directed? I'm looking for the ones that, like, have a female gaze that are trash so I can be like, yo, it's a whole new kind.
True equality.
Like, imagine a male Sucker Punch.
You know what, the thing that I'm most worried about in my life right now, besides, you know, like, the regular things, is...
Like, the world
employees. The more I hear Colin Trevorrow, who was the director of Jurassic World, and is apparently directing Episode 9 of the Star Wars trilogy, the more I hear him talk, the more I want him to get fired and replaced by someone else, because I do not trust him in the slightest to lead or to direct a, like, meaningful ending to a story with a female hero.
Well,
like,
let's see.
He is just putting his foot in his mouth, like, every day.
Better
not. Jurassic Park was a disgusting mess of a movie.
Park
or Jurassic World? World. Jurassic Park is a fucking cinematic classic that I would watch again right now.
But Jurassic World had Chris Pratt.
Yeah, but it also had, like, a climactic scene where a woman runs in 6-inch high heels.
Are you telling me that's not empowering?
Like, this poor woman...
She had magic shoes, Steph.
Had to train... Bryce Dallas Howard had to train to run in heels instead of at this climactic point of the scene, kicking her fucking shoes off and going to attract this T-Rex to come fight this whatever monster. Like, she's just, all of the female characters in that movie who wanted to be, like, career women were bad people.
Yeah, they got shit because on Rubai, didn't they?
Yeah, like, her assistant, who is saddled with her two nephews and is just trying to run her, like, actually try to run her business, which is her job, and she gets stuck babysitting Bryce Dallas Howard's two nephews. Like,
yeah, why wasn't it a nephew and a niece, like, in the first one?
Yeah, first of all, yes, I don't know. And second of all,
we can't have a little girl running away, like...
Like, when this assistant gets eaten by a dinosaur, and it's brutal. It's like, portrayed in the movie as, like, a, ha-ha, comeuppance, like, she got hers for not being a maternal woman. Like, that's seriously how it's framed.
Yeah. I remember watching this, like, are we supposed to be happy that lady got eaten by a dinosaur? Like, the only person you're supposed to be happy that got eaten by the dinosaur was the dude who, like, lets him out to get, like, the secrets, like, the super serum to make more. Like,
yeah.
The dude from Space Jam, when he gets eaten, that's cool, like, because he was being a dick.
Yeah, like, I just
think that's where Wayne went after Space Jam, after Michael Jordan left him. He went to...
He was heartbroken by Michael Jordan leaving him and went to work at Jurassic Park as a programmer.
That's... Make it canon. Yeah, and Chris Pratt was kind of a douche in that movie.
Well, yeah, his character, like, I don't know.
He seemed fine, but his character sucked.
Yeah, he remains my least favorite Chris. Of all the Chris's.
I don't know, I gotta side with Chico Leo. Chris Pine just seems so boring, like, I can't root for him. He just exists.
I think he's just, I find him more attractive than Chris Pratt.
Okay,
and
cool.
I also
Same,
think that
fine.
He has I can't remember any of them right now, but I've read some really ridiculous stories about him, like, how he behaves when he's just off being Chris Pine that amuse me.
Look, but he's so.
But even on sheer attractiveness, he is above Chris Pratt for me. Like, if we were just rating the Chris's on that.
Yeah. That's fair. That's true. I don't know, anyone who disagrees with you is objectively wrong. But, like, I wouldn't want to get a beer with Chris Pine. You know what I mean?
Like, I feel, yeah, that's fair.
Like, also, like, I wouldn't want to get drunk and, like, make regrettable decisions with Chris Pine either. I think Chris Pratt, you need to have a story. You're like, we kind of did some stuff. It got a little gay real quick. It's fine. Like, it'd be fun. You'd enjoy telling that story. Like, but, like, oh, yeah, me and Chris Pine had sex. Congratulations. Good story. I'm glad you told that boring
ass
story.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that's it. It would suck. Now, Chris Evans, like, you don't tell anybody. Because Captain America.
Chris Evans, you just treasure that forever.
You keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you get the joy of it being a secret, too.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Evans is the number one Chris. Like, I don't know. He's just...
Chris,
like,
Rock.
I,
he's second to Chris Rock. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
Chris Rock is Captain America, too.
if we're reading white superhero Chris's... Evans.
That list is far too long.
Which is... Yeah, that's already a list that is really weirdly specific for how long it is.
We live in amazing. Also, we're stretching the definition of superhero too, if we include Pine and Pratt.
Superhero people in superhero movies.
Because Chris Pine doesn't even have any superpowers.
No, he's like the jolly romantic lead.
Like, Chris Pratt at least has a sweet gun and a mask thingy. he hangs out with aliens. Well, I guess you could consider Wonder Woman, like, more alien than human if you wanted to do that.
If you were gonna go the Thor route, where, like, gods were just, like, creatures from outer space that had advanced technology that seemed like magic.
Yeah, you know, basically that. Oh, that seems like a good place for a break, I'd say, right?
I think so.
Okay, listeners, check out this music, it's good, trust me. And we'll be back. Thank you.
right. I hope you all enjoyed that music. I don't know who it was yet, but Dom might. And if he doesn't, you'll find out from the show notes. As always, this is our last section of the week, and that's stuff we got this week. Dom, have you got anything?
Nah, I've just been listening to Steven Universe soundtrack and the Robot Knights album. They're both so good and so enjoyable. I don't think nice. I did. Oh! You know what? I did get something, Steph.
You're a damn liar. What did you get?
Well, I forgot. Like, I remembered before we started, and then I forgot. And then you were saying that, and I was trying to think hard. It's the cards I got from the con. The Super Smash Brothers deck of cards. It's really cool.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought I mentioned this. So, remember how we saw, like, those League of Legends playing cards?
I think so. Just a deck deck of playing cards.
Yeah, it was the Ladies of Legends or League of Ladies or whatever. But Draven was still in there, so I got those.
Like you do.
Like instead of those, it's Super Smash Brothers characters. And every character is represented.
Dang, that's impressive.
Even the DLC character. Well, the DLC characters are 5 separate cards, so you have to like replace them in your deck.
Uh-huh. So it's just two.
Yeah, like, I have 2 Queen of Hearts. Like, one of them's Bayonetta. Okay. And then I have, like, 2 7 of Hearts, because Cloud is, I guess, 7. Final Fantasy 7, that makes sense.
Okay,
he's the second 7 of Hearts. I guess Greninja is, for some reason, DLC, but he was already in the game, so that's weird. I didn't realize that. Maybe they just put this one in here instead, but, yeah. So, it's you know, it's nice, and they came with, like, some bookmarks just to be nice to the friends, and they have shimmery backs to them that have Pokeballs, Mushrooms, and the Zeebs Morph Ball from Metroid. Oh, and there's also Triforce and Leaf from Animal Crossing. So these are nice cards.
Very cool.
Yeah, each character is represented. So I got those this week. Very exciting.
Very good.
What about you? You get anything cool?
For a given value of cool, I fucking broke down. I bought a pass to the Friday at New York Comic Con.
Betrayer.
After all of my moaning and groaning about the ticket prices.
So it pushed you over the edge.
One of my friends did get a Friday pass, my future roommate, so I was like, I guess maybe at least then I'll still have someone to go with that day. When I realized that not going to Colossal Con meant that I would not have a chance to actually cosplay again until, like, February of next year at the earliest, like, if we go to Katsucon.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's so long for someone who loves to cosplay.
Well, cosplay, like, in a nerdy sense, because, like, Halloween's coming up, but, like, that's
different. Yeah, like, Halloween and Fantasy Fest are, like, our costume events, but, like, Fantasy Fest, I'm gonna slut it up like you do.
I always do that, so this is not changed for me.
And Halloween, I'll probably just wear something that I already have, because I'll actually be home for Halloween and potentially dress up for work. So it'll just be, like, something that I can wear to work that is also, like, a fun costume. And
bring back Eliza.
I was thinking more Mabel or Miss Frizzle, but I don't know.
The Frizz.
Still, it's a while till then, so. But yeah, just, and it's that, like, I said, like, I did say that for Colossal, or for Fantasy Fest, one sluts it up more than one might for another con, but the costume that I'd really like to put together for New York Comic Con is Red Sonja, which is just a chainmail bikini.
You got time. So. It's only, what, like,
I mean, yeah,
3 months?
Till October?
I didn't do the math. It's 4 months, my bad. That's
4 months.
That's,
which is, like, still soon.
It's 3.5, actually.
Which means I really need to start doing sit-ups now, but...
Do a lot less and eat a lot more and be round.
Or not. If I'm going to be wearing a chainmail bikini in public, I'm going to be very comfortable with how my body looks.
All body types count. Just saying.
It does. I'm not stopping anyone else from cosplay, however else, in whatever body they've got. Like, God bless every single one of us, but For me personally, I'm gonna be doing a lot of sit-ups.
Oh, I'm talking a lot of crap. Like, I want to cosplay Los Muertos Sombra, but I don't want to do it unless I have abs. Like, I would personally just feel not great.
Yeah.
Or if I weighed a lot more. I don't like where I'm at right now. I need to weigh more or less. I need to be more or less toned, but... Well, Red Sonja's coming up. That's cool. That's cool. You get your pass to New York Comic Con. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. I hope so, too.
Speaking of Mabel, actually, have you seen the new DuckTales theme song?
I did!
Like, the actual video of it.
Video, yes.
It looks pretty dope. Apparently, it's like a combination of the old DuckTales cartoon and, like, the Scrooge McDuck and Nephews comic.
It looks delightful.
That's why his jacket's red instead of blue. So there's, like, a lot of Easter egg and stuff. But the reason I say, speaking of Mabel, apparently, and I saw, like, one of the character trailers, Webby sounds a lot like Mabel, but it's not Kristen Schaal.
It's not Kristen Schaal.
It's not.
But so maybe they're just, like, Mabel was a successful female character.
Yes.
The quirky female. The quirky sidekick. Female sidekick is definitely a successful.
She definitely does seem more interesting than the original Webby, because I think she has more characteristic than the girl. Congratulations, DuckTales.
I am the female member of this team.
Which is interesting, because...
question mark?
Which, to be fair, did any of the boys have a personality other than the three brothers?
That's arguably no.
Pretty sure Webby, by being the girl one, had far more personality than one third of Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Which is... I don't think anyone planned for that. All the characters actually look pretty cool. Mrs. Beaksley looks like a hard ass. Like, that's pretty cool. And who's Lynn playing? Like, the robot guy?
He's playing... I can't remember what his name is, but yeah.
Like, the guy that wears the robot or the guy that made it? I can't remember which one.
I don't remember.
Who cares?
But Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to be in it, and I'm hype.
Yeah. How'd you like the new theme song?
I think it's delightful.
Cool. Good.
Yes. And now that we've... I was almost put this on the list to talk about, and I was like, I feel like maybe last time I was the one who was... I was the only one who was excited about DuckTales, so I was super excited about David Tennant. And then I was like, I'll just leave it off for now. I don't know if this is big news, and then we ended up talking about it anyway, so...
I was quite excited before, I wasn't excited because of David Tennant, I was just excited in general.
Just because of DuckTales?
Yeah, I fucking love DuckTales. Great show, it's so lovely, and the theme song is amazing, and Scrooge McDuck is cool. Like, he's not a good guy, but he's a cool guy, you know? And he can swim through money like a rich duck.
Yeah, he was not just, like, diving into the money in this
going through it. He was legit swimming.
Yeah, like Michael Phelpsing through this money.
You know, the duck family are, they are athletic adventurers. We need Darkwing Duck to come back as part of this. Because his theme's... I was upset with the theme song a little bit. Because
how so?
Well, first off, I think the sound mixing was terrible on it
For the video.
Yeah, but that was just whatever. That has nothing to do with the composition. They need to turn the vocals down a little bit or up. I can't remember, but they had like it sounded like a pop, like a girl pop kind of version of the song, mm-hmm. which is like this is cool and it works, but like I miss like the soulful like '90s Black Dude Quartet that like Disney always had for like all of its theme songs like. Like, uh-huh. like DuckTales, Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, like, I don't know if any of them were ever sang by black people, but they had, like, definitely, like a vibe to them that people were like, that sounds, like, soulful for some reason. Or even, like, the Rescue Rangers, like, all the Disney songs, like, had soul to them or something, I don't know how to put it. And, like, this was good, and it was great, I'm like, this fits and this is fun, but I miss, like, the... I don't know, like, some guy crooning, like, I don't know, I miss it. it didn't...
That's fair.
It's not so much that it needed to be there, but I feel the difference, you know?
Okay.
That's alright, though, because you know, the funny thing about it is when you make a reboot or a new thing, the old thing still exists. And if I want to hear the old theme song, I can just go listen to it.
Just go listen to it.
And the new one doesn't impact my enjoyment of the
new one. Your childhood has not died.
My childhood's been dead and gone. It has nothing to do with the new remake of DuckTales. They're trying their hardest to keep it alive. They can't help it. They should have had Ariana Grande sing the theme song, though.
Oh, snap.
Because she's a pop girl and has connection to soul. Croonability. She can croon. I don't know the words she's saying, but, like, she has a good voice. did you see the... I sent a video to one of our group chats. This reminded me of Ariana Grande, like, being Sam and Cat. This guy was watching all these Japanese dubs of, like, American cartoons and kids shows. Did you see this?
No, I didn't see it.
So he's like, so, there, you know, people are like, what's more of a weeb? Is it watching the dubs or the subs? He's like, well, we need to take this up a step. He's like, there's some people who watch, like, American stuff dubbed in Japanese with the English subtitles on. And then he pulled, like, Japanese SpongeBob up.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. Like, it's so good. I forget what show it was. I think it was, like, Sam and... It was... Maybe someone was Selena Gomez in it, or Sam and Cat, but the characters sounded so good. Like it's not like the actors, but they were speaking their own Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun rabbit hole to go down. I might have to jump down there and see some more. Like, they had Corey in the House. That's a Raven. Like, there's so much Japanese dubbed Disney shows. You gotta check it out. So that's what else I got this week. Just a lot of cultural osmosis.
That's delightful.
Yeah, and I had my first blizzard this weekend. It was delicious. So,
congrats. So you did get some stuff this week, Dom.
I don't even count that as getting something, but it was. And I went to a gender reveal party. Those were so weird. That's so weird, Steph. But it was a cute little party. You know, it's... I wish there was a way to have a gender reveal party, but not, like, gross about the gender. So it was just more like, we're having a baby. Haha. We're not going to reveal the gender because that's weird. Why do you want to know what's in my baby's pants? But also not, like, get called a social justice warrior by your friends and family. So it could just be an announcement party. Surprise, we're having a baby. That's the reveal. Actually, she's having a baby. I'm just here. Baby reveal. It's a new podcast.
Check out After Daddy Reveal.
Oh, man. It all sounds so terrible. Baby reveal doesn't sound terrible. That's the one other reveal we can have that doesn't sound disgusting. It just sounds like, oh, hey, there's a baby. It's adorable. It's nice. Like, puppy
just
reveal.
Just show random pictures of babies.
We should have puppy reveal and just have, like, pictures of cute puppies. Send your cute puppy pics to @CharacterRev.
I mean, there's already a thing called We Rate Dogs.
Yeah, we're not going to rate the dogs. I just want to see them.
Like, okay. We'll just reveal them to the rest of the world by retweeting your dog pictures.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to do that. I was just going to, like, hit a like and be happy. I just want to see cute puppies.
You can't call yourself Puppy Reveal and then only consume the puppy pictures.
I'm glad you said pictures.
To whom are you revealing?
No, I threw the Puppy Reveal thing out the window. I just wanted to look at cute puppy pictures, and that was my plea to the audience. Send us cute pictures of dogs, and I'll be happy.
So Dom can look at them.
So I can look at them. That's it. Maybe you want to contact us one day. Maybe you want to see our other stuff that exists. Maybe you want to hear some us not prattle on about dogs and daddies and doohickeys and Devolver Digital. I really stretched out.
That was some impressive alliteration there.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta stretch it out. They call me the king of stretching it out.
Wow.
But you want to hear more of that garbage on Twitter, you can follow me @BrotherDom on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Tumblr, wherever else I want to be found. Maybe even OC Remix can be my friend. You can find Steph on Twitter @CaptainSteph or on Tumblr @TheSnowQueer. You know, I don't know. How about the Yeti from Monsters, Inc.? He might be gay. Maybe he's a snowqueer. I don't know. Or on Instagram @HellaSteph, I believe.
That's me.
Is there any...
I always love your deep dives for whatever you can come... What cold gay you can come up with next.
Hey, I'm the king of diving deep. Actually, I cannot dive, like, in water. I just cannonball or jump. I can't dive. Fun fact.
Shame.
It's just a fun fact. I can barely swim. So you want to follow this podcast on the internet, that's a great thing to do. You can see us on Twitter @CharacterRev. That's 2 R's in the middle. And that's where you should send all your funny stories and cute puppy pics. We're also on Instagram at Character Reveal, and you can find us on Facebook by searching Character Reveal. You'll see the blue curtains. It's totes us. You can find this podcast at characterreveal.simplecast.fm or on Google Play Podcasts or on iTunes or even Stitcher. You know, we have all kinds of... we're proliferated very many places. And we had an episode go up just this Monday with Brian Wolf, who talked to us about cute things, comics, board games, the stuff he makes. And we talked about a lot of interesting crossovers. Like, Kiss has an anime background a little bit. A lot of cool stuff. Did you ever check out those videos? They're so great.
Yes, they're fantastic.
Go see Gene Simmons do a sale. No, that was in the Scooby-Doo one. In the Scooby-Doo meets Kiss. Kiss does, like, Sailor Moon type
magical girl transformation.
It's totally real. It's totally awesome. Go check it out. Just search Kiss Magical Girl Scooby and you'll get there. And you can also find us on Patreon. Patreon.com/characterreveal. Every little bit helps. It'll help us get to more cons, meet more people, get better equipment, and keep on bringing you all the best we can. There's a few reward tiers. They're all right. I think they're pretty cool. You might get some cool content out of them. And I think
Bone Eye, the captain, the pirate.
Oh, that's it, right? That's everything.
I think you got it.
We did it without any hiccups. Go me. But yeah, thanks for listening to another episode. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.